Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! All right, Key, so how long would you have to be out of football before you couldn't get back into football? If it would be easy for you right now, having not played for as long as you have not played, how many more years need to go by before you're like, nah, man, I couldn't do it?
This year.
No, we're at the end of the line.
Yeah, I would have to start now for next season. I would have to start training right now for next season. But it hurts, man. It ain't for everybody. And right now, it ain't going to be for me. I'm just talking. I ain't no damn fool. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I understand what it's going to be like waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to go down to the treatment center to get some rubs and get some ultrasound. I get all that. I understand that. But if I wanted to condition my mind, if somebody said to me, the only way you're going to survive on this earth is you're going to have to train till next football season and you have to go to training camp. That's the only way we're going to let you survive. Then I would do it. And I would do it and it wouldn't be a problem. It would hurt. And you fight through the hurt. Even when you're young and you're 25 years old and you're fresh out of college, it hurts, man. It doesn't feel good.
The football imagine or the training?
The training portion of it. The football portion of it is fine. It's whatever. It's the training to get ready for that. It's really, you know, I look at pictures. Me and my friends, sometimes we sit around. Well, we've sat around. We ain't been sitting around lately. But we've sat around and we've looked at pictures of my playing days and retirement and laugh about it, about all the, because they've been close to me throughout the whole process. In all of the grind and work that you put in, you know, to do it. It's just like you have to. Not, you know, baseball, man. What am I talking about? You know sports, but it's like somebody who becomes a very successful attorney or very successful writer. They put in time. They brains, their eyeballs hurt so much because they're sitting up reading all night long. It's the same thing when you have to train to get ready to go play sports. Is your body is going to be shocked. Man, you're going to have soreness in places that you never even thought you had before. Like, you're like, wait a minute, man. I didn't know I had that soreness there and a muscle there to create that soreness. And that's what happens. But if you really wanted to do it, you can do it. Like, guys like Chad Johnson is still out there running around because that's what he wants to do. He's still out there running around. Maybe somebody will call me one day. He out there covering dudes.
T.O.'s
still out there running around. Now, if they wanted to put him in a game and wanted him to be a football player, and I'm assuming based on me seeing him train a couple years ago that he's probably still doing the same sort of stuff. If somebody wanted to sign him and really sign that dude and really sign him and let him play, he could do it. But they get to a point where they're like, man, we really don't want to do that. We really don't want to put him on the roster because they can do it. He can take somebody third row, fourth row, 100%. Because he knows how to play the game.
All right, so I'm curious about the. I believe, especially professional athletes, if you got them right, they can go out there and perform and ball out for a game. But for me, the science of the recovery is always the issue. And yesterday, I was out running around at the grocery store, and I just happened to have on the T-shirt. I kept the T-shirt from the last basketball tournament I played in, which was like 5 years ago. And I knew it was my last basketball tournament, not because I played poorly on the first day, but because the second day, the elimination round, my body says, we doing this again?
But LZ, you're not a professional. You don't go into the cryo chamber. You ain't got people rubbing all on you all day long. You ain't got people stretching you all day long. It's different. It's a different type of recovery.
I understand that, Key, but I've covered tennis for a long time. You guys know this. And I've seen the professional athletes who have to play a match longer than expected on one day. And when they come back that next day, these are professionals at their prime in their 20s, and they come back the next day, and it's obvious that their body is still trying to recover. So that's the reason why I think when you talk about
recovery,
guys in their 30s and 40s,
the recovery
is a mother.
Well, the recovery is always going to be a problem, whether you're in the 30s or the 40s or 20s. Your recovery is not doesn't feel good. That's why games are not – that's why back-to-back and stuff like that is limited. It's just – it's a recovery process no matter who you are. It's going to hurt the older you get, obviously, but you can do it. You can recover.
That's why I think that they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with the relaunch of all of these different leagues because of that recovery process. I know that guys are staying in shape. I know that these guys are in the prime of their life. But the fact of the matter is they have not played NBA basketball or NHL hockey for a couple of months. And now all of a sudden we're going to relaunch these leagues. The latest proposal from the NBA, at least reportedly, is that instead of bringing everybody back, all 30 teams, they're considering a format that would bring the 16 current playoff teams and then four more teams with the next best records. That would be Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio. That brings the total to 20. And then they're going to put together what is basically a World Cup format. You're going to have group play. You're going to do a round robin inside of your group. And then you advance out of your group into a traditional playoff format. I think it's a great idea. Number one, any basketball is better than no basketball. But this gives an opportunity to teams like Portland, to teams like New Orleans that are on the outside looking in to go in there and play for something and get a chance to get into that knockout round. Because we know the Lakers are going to come out. We know that a team like Milwaukee and the Clippers, that they're going to get through their group stage because they're going to make sure that they do. But those other teams, this format, I think this is a great opportunity to tinker with the league and give those teams that are outside an opportunity to get inside.
Yeah, well, it is. But do you really want to see those teams? And I'm always a believer, even though they were a few games here or there, the season ended, that they could have still caught some of the teams in front of them. But when the season ended, you were out on the outside looking in. So why should I give you that opportunity to get in and be a part of our tournament?
I want to answer that,
even though, and when we stopped it, you were on the outside.
Because they hadn't the schedule is not balanced through let's just pick a round number. The 60 games that have been played prior to the league shutting down because of the pandemic, we had not all played the same teams the same amount of times. The Portland Trailblazers have one of the easiest remaining schedules. The Memphis Grizzlies literally had the hardest remaining schedule in the NBA. So they didn't have to go through the same level of competition that I did. So absolutely I deserve a chance to catch up because we didn't finish the season.
Well, I think it's – I mean, if they want to put them in, great. I just want basketball back. I would prefer to keep them out. But if you want to put them in, if we can get going again and get to see some live hoops and the players are happy with it, then I'm all for it. I just think that if it was me and I was on a team and we was facing this scenario, then I would simply say they was on the outside looking in, much like I feel about – if they did the 1-16 scenario and all of a sudden you allow Brooklyn to get the two top players on their team back, it's the same thing to me. I would be like, no.
You don't think it's different that they would let those guys, because those guys would have never come back under a regular schedule. These guys were ready to go. Damian Lillard was back. Zion Williamson had joined the team. They had a different roster when the season came to an end, and they had not played the weaker teams. The Nets, these two guys would have never been ready without a four-month pause in the season. That seems very different to me.
Yeah, but if you or the opponents, like I would be, I would simply say you should have took care of business 3 months ago and you wouldn't be in this situation, because that's the way y'all would feel about us.
They were hurt, and that's the thing.
No, I'm not talking about Brooklyn. I'm talking about Portland's and those teams.
Yeah, Dame Lillard missed several weeks because he was hurt.
I understand that.
Zion started late because he was hurt. They're going to get.
That's not my fault though, LZ. I don't feel sympathy for you.
No, I'm not saying it's a fault thing. I said, but it's not that they didn't take care of business. It's that the injury derailed their season. I think those are two different things. They didn't underachieve. They were derailed by an injury. I would much rather
the regular season. Don't get injured.
I would much rather they just say the regular season is over. Rosters are frozen. The 16 teams that made it through are the 16 teams that are going to be in the postseason, because everybody that's in the postseason has suffered in some way or another. Either you're going to lose the home court advantage that you fought so hard for because it's going to be on a neutral site. If you're a player, say like a LeBron James, and your eyes are set on surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, where you just lost 20 games from doing that, right? Like, everyone has a hardship one way or another. Let's just accept the fact that this season is deeply flawed, but we're going to do the best we can. And I think the best thing, especially from a health perspective, limit the number of teams to finish the postseason with. Don't increase the number of teams because you increase the amount of bodies that could be exposed and derail everything. So just do 16 teams, freeze the rosters, find the neutral site that you can agree upon, play out the season, crown a champion, and prayerfully, next season, everything is back to normal and we can just start fresh.
Well, if you're going to do the tiered system, if you're going to do group play, you're going to have to make sure that these tiers are evenly spaced, because you absolutely could not just draw them at random. Because what that means is, and we see this all the time in soccer, and I'm not a soccer expert, but even if you're not a soccer person, I'm sure we've all heard the term group of death, where you've got four teams in a group, only two teams advance, and if three or all four of those teams are good, that means two really good teams get left out just because they got a bad draw. So you got to make sure that the Bucks and the Lakers and the Clippers and the Celtics and all these teams are placed in different brackets. Because if you just start drawing at random and putting them in there, what if you had a group that had the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers all in the same group? That means that one of the three best teams in the league is getting left out before we even get to a knockout round. So you're going to have to fudge it a little bit, or let these guys select who they want their opponents to be. That's another one of the ideas that was floated out there. You can't just start drawing out of a hat to put together groups, because somebody's going to get jammed up.
And in the end, what they're going to do, in the end, what the NBA going to do is just keep it to the regular format. Watch. In the end, we're going through all these exercises in our brain. In the end, they're going to say, let's just keep it the same.
I wonder if that wouldn't be a big mistake. And not that we – because, look, we understand that format. If you just said, okay, 8 West, 8 East, let's go. One plays 8, and let's play this thing out. That's fine. We'd all love to see basketball back. But this is a huge opportunity. This is a really unique opportunity to do some things that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise, or at least do them easily, to say, hey, we're going to do 1 through 16. Maybe we get something totally different and completely exciting, as opposed to just going back to the regular old way.
Well, it becomes complicated, though. And the reason it becomes complicated is because you got the owners, you got players, you got general manager. They're all saying what they want. And that's why it's just easier to say leave it the same. That way we don't have any bickering or anything like that.
All right. There are great athletes in every sport, but are there great golfers in every sport? Phil Mickelson wants to find out. We'll explain next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Are we sure that's her, by the way? Do we have proof that is actually Khloe Kardashian after some work? Because she doesn't look like the same person.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm too close to them.
LZ, I don't want to see the picture.
I don't want to walk past the wrong person in the neighborhood.
Forget the neighborhood. Did you recognize her when she was in the house? Or did you say, hey, hi, I'm Keyshawn. Who are you?
Nice to meet you.
Look, I've been accused of and I think all of us have, at least I think, I'm not 100% sure, of seeing somebody and saying, damn, they look different. But, you know, it's one of those deals where, or you've been accused of seeing somebody saying, why you look different? What you do? You know, or seeing somebody and putting your foot in your mouth that might have a round stomach, and you may say, oh, I didn't. When do you do? You know? Or,
oh yeah, no, never say that.
Never say that.
I'm sure we've all been there before, some way, shape, form, or another.
No, never, ever, ever assume a pregnancy. You guys tell me this, because I'll never forget this.
They certainly have made some changes to their appearances in that family. Let's just say that.
I remember I had a teammate in college who we played with together for 4 years, and we came back for an alumni event a couple of years after we'd all graduated, and we hadn't seen this guy in a few years, and he shows up, and he's like, oh, hey, fellas, how you doing? Good to see everybody. And he shows up with this giant mouthful of brand-new veneers in his mouth, that just brand-new teeth that looked completely – like, he looked like Matt Dillon from Something About Mary, just totally different. Have you guys ever had that experience where somebody that you know, consider a friend or a friendly acquaintance, all of a sudden shows up and had something crazy done to their face? You're like, whoa, hey, man, good to see you. What have you been up to? What the hell do you say?
Absolutely. Every day. I see somebody like that every day. I'm like, okay. I'm just gonna act like nothing happened. You disappear and then you come back looking like a different person.
You don't strike me as a terribly vain guy, Key, but if you had to get some work done, what would you get done?
Man, I'm not getting no work done. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Man, have you seen my look? Only thing I'm missing is green eyes. Other than that, I'm good.
So you're going to get an eye transplant? I don't know if they've mastered that.
No, but as far as my look go, I'm good. I ain't wrinkled. I'm skin smooth. Got a skinny face now. All that. I'm straight.
Well,
I'm good. Travis? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm a looker. Trust me.
I mean, look. Let's if we're just being honest about this thing, I would probably get that suction thing where they suck the fat out of my gut or whatever it is.
Oh, that's easy.
I stop eating and work out.
That seems like a lot of work, Key.
No, that seems like a lot of work. That's a real easy one, Travis. We could do a GoFundMe for that one. Listen, I've driven by enough of those shops in K-Town. You can get one for like $800.
And then we'll be visiting you at the doctor. I'll visit you at the hospital.
I'm comfortable with most of my deal. Like, I'm losing my hair. It doesn't really bother me all that much. I can deal with that. I don't want to be that guy with the terrible set of hair implants. That's a bad look. But if I could just kind of go to sleep for a couple hours and wake up and be 30 pounds lighter, I wouldn't hate that. I'd go for that.
Yeah, but I ain't touching nothing on my face. Nothing. I ain't touching
my
body.
The face. Never
I don't
face.
Need nothing. And nothing. I don't need no boob job. I don't need no lips job. Nowhere. I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing. I don't need no nose job. I don't need nothing. No lip injections. Nothing. No eyebrow lifts. Nothing. Nothing.
LZ? What about your nose, LZ?
What are you talking about, dude? I'm very comfortable with the way that I look. But the one thing that I would like to do is fix
gonna
my
get some, what you gonna get some calf fingers. Implants?
Fix my fingers.
Your fingers?
Yeah, I got a couple of them that are broken from basketball over the years, and they just healed. God. They healed a little crooked. I would love to uncrook it them.
I could do that for you. Give me a hammer and lay him down flat.
And then I'll be in the hospital next to Travis with his K-Town liposuction. And we can just sit there and heal together.
But in all honesty, Travis, nothing.
I'm going to Beverly Hills. I'm not going to anywhere that isn't where they do 10,000
of these things. They botch in Beverly Hills too, buddy. They botch in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, at least in K-Town, you get something to eat while it's happening.
No, but you don't. Let me tell you something, man. You don't need to do anything. Okay, I'm not a plastic surgeon doctor, but I'm an expert at it. And
okay.
What I would tell you is, if people want to slightly alter their facial features to a degree, if they have a nose like LZ and they want a nose like you, if they have lips like LZ and they want lips like mine, I mean,
these lips are award winning.
All right. All right.
See, here we go. If you want to alter some stuff, slightly, I'm okay with that. The problem is they change their appearance. And when people start changing their appearance is when they look freaky and don't even realize how freaky you look. They think they look cool and hot and sexy. And it's like, no, you look creepy. And it looks like I would call the police on you if you were standing in my driveway. You just look scary, and they don't understand that. And it's hard for people to explain that to them because you become offensive, and it you don't want to do that. You don't want to tell somebody like, man, why would you do that to your scalp? Why did you just pull your entire scalp and face back? Like, why would you do that? You don't
look. Let's be honest,
right, though. Who got it right?
I was just going to say, the guys and women that have it right.
It's some people that got it right.
Tell. Of course there are. You can tell they just, oh, man, they look great. Look at them. They're 60 years old and look like they're 40. Oh, they're 70 and look like they're 45. That you can do it right. The only time we notice these things is when it goes terribly wrong or you look totally different like the person that we started talking about at the beginning of this. It's like, you don't look like yourself anymore. You don't look like a younger version. You look like somebody that got mauled. You look like somebody
like for instance, like I think Vanna White got it right. I think
she looks great.
She looks great. She's got it right. She clearly
I gotta
has
see
some
I gotta see Vanna. I haven't really watched Wheel of Fortune since I was on it, but
wait, what? You were on Wheel, Key?
I was on Wheel three times.
All right. How did you do?
Man, I don't remember. I think I won money for charity.
You know you lost because if you
yeah, I was gonna say,
oh, no, 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 I didn't win the whole thing. No, 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 I didn't win. He said, "How did you?" He said, "How did I do?" He said, "How did I do?" So at the end of the day, I did okay. I didn't win the whole thing, but I didn't walk away with zero either. So I did okay. I won money for my charity that I was up with. I mean, did okay.
Yeah, you only notice the facelifts if they've gone really bad. And I don't mean to put him on blast, but I get look, we all remember when Jerry Jones showed up and looked at
him. I knew you was going to say Jerry.
We all remember when Jerry was the guy that was winning the Super Bowls in Dallas, and then he showed us like, whoa, that Jerry looks different all of a sudden. That's what you got to – you don't you
but it fits,
look
okay,
good. You
but
don't want to look different.
It fits Jerry, though. That's Jerry. It fits Jerry. I'm the big Texas. I'm the billionaire. I do what I want. That fits Jerry. That's not a surprise. A surprise is when you look like something else that just – Jerry looks like Jerry, just an older version. Jerry doesn't look – he just looks like an older version. But when you start talking about the people
– like Lil' Kim.
Yeah, like, who is that? Like, I remember you when – but now it's like, I don't, you can walk past me in a grocery store line. I wouldn't even know it's her. She would have to say, it's me, Lil' Kim, for me to even be able to say anything. I mean, it's just.
It's real talk, Travis. If Lil' Kim was your mama when you was growing up, you went home to visit with the new face, you'd be asking, where mama at?
That bad, huh?
Well, so that different.
Why,
I'm
so
that
why
different.
Did we start? Why did we start on Chloe? What happened? What did I miss? Other than I've
well,
used to seeing
there were some pictures that showed up. There were some pictures that showed up online that do not look like Chloe Kardashian has looked for the vast majority of her public life. She's far thinner, which could be just a deal of working out and getting in really good shape. But it's not just that. It's her face looks to be an entirely different shape. She looks like a different person. She looks. Look, let's be honest. She doesn't look bad. She looks pretty good in these new pictures, but it doesn't look like the Khloe Kardashian we've seen for how long she's been in the public eye, 20 years? She doesn't look like that anymore.
But you do realize, and you may, like I said, I'm not a doctor, but I'm a professional at this plastic surgery stuff. You do realize that they have to take that makeup off too. And once they take that makeup off, they're not cute. So when you say doesn't look bad, that's a lot of makeup and stuff on top of the plastic surgery. Once you remove that makeup, it gets even scarier. And a lot of the times, not a lot of the times, you know, when people start saying, well, they got these, oh, they got such, oh, they're going to have this, they're going to have great. No, no, no. If you wasn't a nice looking person to begin with, that DNA ain't transferring just because you went and got some surgery done. That DNA ain't going to transfer to them kids. So you got to be careful and mindful of that as well. See, people forget that. They had these kids, and they talk about running around having a bunch of kids after then chops up their body. Oh, this is going to – no, not going to work.
Mm-mm. You should be like the guy that does the consultations in the lobby. Just so you understand what's about to happen if you have kids.
Because I would completely scare people out of having plastic surgery.
Oh, man. Well, you didn't get to her in time, apparently. That didn't happen. All right, we'll go back to Phil Mickelson wanting to drag some NFL guys, some different NFL guys, some different NBA guys into the match. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, let's start with this. This is a guaranteed run it back, because if 6 million people watch something, they're going to put it on again. And that's about how many people watched the match last weekend between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. 5.8 million people. That's the most people that have ever watched a golf match on cable television. Phil Mickelson says he wants to do it all over again and bring some other guys in. Here's the rub. Did they get nearly 6 million people because there was nothing else on TV and we're all starving to watch some competition? Or did they get 6 million people because they stumbled into a format that's really fun and exciting with the right guys, the right pro, Tiger Woods, obviously, and this is something that you could do once a year and get upwards of 4, 5, 6 million people?
I think it's all – I think it's everything that you said, right? It's we're at home. It's Tiger Woods. It's the now in Brady. It's Phil. It's a little bit of Peyton. And it's the sport of golf. So it's all packaged in together with the lead dog being Tiger Woods. If you remove Tiger from that equation and drop somebody else in, you'll still get some viewers. You won't get 6 million. People will still tune in because there's Brady people, there's Manning people. It's the sport of golf. There's Phil people, and there's Bubba Watson people. And that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get 6 million viewers tapped into it. Let's not fool ourselves and make it seem like, oh, Brady and Manning and golf is the key to all of this sort of thing. No, it's Tiger Woods. Like, the last dance was Michael Jordan. It's mm-hmm. like Michael Jordan. If you did a deal on, I don't know, the Chicago Bulls and you took Michael Jordan out of it, you get 100,000 people watching it. You insert him in, you get however many people. So when you're looking at that, you got to factor in the reason that Phil would even bring it up. And he has to factor it in that it's Tiger Woods, it's the pandemic, and it's something in terms of golf that people want to see in sports to watch, give something to do. If you remove some of those things, people going to watch it on the drive-by. That's my feeling.
I believe that if you made the right moves in terms of how you put this thing together, who's driving the conversations, who are some of the ancillary characters that are involved, and can they all play golf well enough to look like they know what they're doing, I don't think you need Tiger Woods. But if you don't have enough of those other factors, then I agree with Keyshawn, then you need Tiger to drag those numbers up. But I believe if you got Tony Romo and Steph and Phil and one other prominent golfer, whether it's Jordan or some other, you know, name of that nature, and they're able to give each other the business, play really good golf, and have great conversations, I think you will find yourself maybe not necessarily being driven by sports fans, but I think you will find a decent number, maybe a 4 million viewership just by the curiosity alone.
But no, you're going to have with those guys, you're going to have a drive-by. That's just because nobody in the game of golf. What do you mean you drove by this and they didn't have Tiger?
I didn't sit there and watch the entire thing. I clicked.
I understand that, but you won a 6 million, and who knows how many people watched it from beginning to end. My whole point is, you got the top dude in golf. Period. Whether he been bad for the last 10 years or not. The top dude moving the needle.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to see. It's not that complicated.
Just of all the factors, the Tiger piece, I think, is the most important piece. Because just imagine last weekend, this thing's taking place. Only instead of Tiger Woods, it's Dustin Johnson. Okay? No, I'm out. I want to see Peyton Manning right play. I want to see, but we're talking about what makes this thing, and I understand that you're in a unique situation, Ozzy, because you're not watching golf anyway, and you kind of dropped in on this, and you liked it, and that's great, but the jump off has to be that, because look, let's be honest, the chatter between these guys was fine, but it wasn't riveting, compelling stuff. What made it really compelling was, number one, there wasn't much else going on, and it was good enough, and two, Tiger Woods played really well. And Tiger Woods is one of those guys that is incredibly, endlessly watchable. Even when he's not playing well, we want to watch Tiger Woods play. If you took Rory McIlroy, who might be the best player in the world, or Brooks Koepka, who might be the best player in the world, and drop them in there instead of Tiger, it's a totally different dynamic. What made it fun was Tiger.
Well, I will simply say, from the non-golf fan perspective, I didn't tune in because I wanted to see Tiger Woods beat a whole bunch of guys that I already knew going into it weren't as good as him. I tuned in because I wanted to see the conversation as they were playing golf. And I got some of that. And I would also say that you're right. Dustin Johnson wouldn't move the needle. but he doesn't move the needle in golf, period. So I wouldn't necessarily expect him all of a sudden to move a needle that he hadn't moved before. But just like a blockbuster movie can have all the right names, but if the script is flawed and the movie's not great, it's still going to flop, even if you have the biggest paid actors in Hollywood in the movie. You need more than just the names. You need compelling content. Conversely, if you have compelling content, you can get some interest just because it's compelling content and no one knows who the hell's in the movie. This year, the Oscar went to a movie filled with South Korean actors that no one knew, but the movie was great. So you can find a way to have a good balance as long as the content itself is compelling.
If you put two guys out there that aren't the football guys, if we have Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and you swap them out for, because look, I understand.
You put me out there with,
well, I'm not even being, Keith, you don't play golf. So you're,
you don't play golf.
You know what I mean?
Well, I can't play golf, man. I talk trash.
You can talk trash, but if you want to ride the cart and talk trash,
you look awful doing it.
That's fine. But you need to have a
skinny leg.
You need to be a golfer, right? And we can talk about how corny Peyton Manning is and how corny Tom Brady was. Their chatter was at least good enough to keep you involved on an LZ level.
Man, that wasn't up with some country club chatter.
I get that it's not what you're used to, but it at least was good enough for what LZ is talking about. Steph Curry, I don't know if he can do that. Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if he wants to do that. I'd watch Patrick Mahomes play backgammon. I just like him. I think he's an endlessly interesting guy, but that's me. You're going to have a certain level of play in this thing because, look, if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are hitting ground balls all over the place, we're not going to watch it for very long because then it's just silly. It's just goofy. You're going to have to find that right combination of guys that have personality or at least enough of it. And, oh, by the way, guys that can stand next to Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and not look like idiots. And neither one of those guys looked like idiots. They were both good enough to play, and they had the minimum level of chatter. It's a tough bar to clear because you have to check all those boxes, and there's not a lot of guys who can.
No matter who playing and when they playing, I don't think I'm going to be watching, so it don't matter.
I will watch. I will watch if it's I would do a drive by.
A lot of these people, boy, you know where you ain't watching that.
Man, sit down somewhere. I would at least do a drive by if the people are compelling. And that's just
and part of the problem is that the people want to deal with it. You know, you do it in the off season. Yeah, you might be able to get some old time dudes to play. It's going to be very difficult to get professional athletes that are non quarterback types to want to do golf when they got their offseason to worry about the next season. It's just
Keith, let me ask you this. Take me through the schedule. If let's say, and obviously you couldn't get a basketball guy right now typically because the playoffs would be going on, but let's say at the end of June, training camp hasn't opened, the NBA season is over, you could get Steph Curry and Patrick Mahomes to come, right? I mean, that wouldn't be too
– You probably could get them to come one weekend. You probably could at that point, right before training camp, probably not. Because training camp starts in July. You may be able to get Steph coming out of the NBA. Patrick Mahomes into June most likely is going to be shutting a lot down because he's getting ready to go to training camp. People typically start focusing in at that part of the summer on getting ready to go to training camp. But who knows? But you can, if a guys or golf guys, Trent Dilfer type, Matt Ryan,
they're not big enough names. It needs to
no,
be
but I'm just
it
giving you
Curry.
Golf. I'm giving you golf guys that I know that love golf. You know that the Tony Romo, them type of dudes. You can get them easy. But when you start looking to get stars that are in a sport that they got to focus in on, it's going to be tough to do.
All right. The athletic director at USC, Mike Bone, is scheduled to join us at 9:00. That's coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, Keys, take it or shake it. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. We will start with an NFL topic. Let's take a listen to Baker Mayfield, who says it's time to go to work and stop talking. Here's Mayfield.
I have a different approach to this year. Everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over. About, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. First media thing I've done, just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it. And right now it's, you know, kind of moving in silence, which is fine with me. That's how I used to do it before getting on a bigger stage. So I'm happy to get back to those roots.
the Browns will be quiet and be all about football in 2020. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Yeah, this is the year.
Yeah, I really don't think that it's that difficult. It's all about the leadership. They got talent. They got some talented players. It's about the leadership. I mean, you went from Hugh Jackson that didn't seem like a good fit, and I love Hugh as a high school coach, but at the same time, he didn't seem like he had a command of what they were trying to do. Then you went from that to what was his name?
Freddie
Charlie,
Kitchens.
What was his name?
Freddie Kitchens.
I was about to say Charlie Kitchens. You went to Freddie Kitchens, who completely was in a whole nother universe. Like, he just – I didn't even get that hire to begin with. John Dorsey lost me on that one out the gate. And now you bring in somebody who comes from the Minnesota Vikings, who is – you know, has some sort of discipline and understanding, I would think, having been under Coach Zim – on kind of how to construct and run a team, not necessarily an organization, but a team. And so you feel a little bit different about the way they're going to come out the gate and approach things. I mean, that's just, you know, Odell Beckham was never a problem. They try to make Odell out to be this big old problem. Odell was never really a problem. He just didn't live up to New York expectations. Like I told Raj from day one, when he goes to Cleveland, things is going to change because the lights ain't on you. You ain't that 1,200 yards you would have caught in New York versus the 1,100 you caught in Cleveland, that 1,200 would have put you at another level because you was in New York. You caught the 1,100 in Cleveland, and everybody act like you couldn't play football no more.
All right, let's go to the next one here. The NFC West is the best division in the NFL. Take it or shake it.
I'm thinking. You threw me for that one. I'll take it.
Take it.
Okay, let's go with it then. Let's take it.
The other one would be the South,
close,
right?
I take the NFC South. I'll take it close with the NFC South.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on the Arizona Cardinals. I know y'all like Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury has a nice house, and he's the single guy, and he kicks his feet up with his flip-flops on, and everybody sees it. Ooh, Cliff, he's cool. I get it. I ain't sold, though. You can't sell me on no sub-500 season and think that all of a sudden I'm just going to jump to you. No, I'm not going to do that. And they just they just traded for DeAndre Hopkins, which is cool, but that offense, DeAndre Hopkins is going to do the same thing that he did in Houston in that offense. He's going to catch a bunch of balls. They're going to throw him a bunch of balls. He's going to get good numbers and statistics because the offense allows you to do that. But the offense does not allow you to sustain victory after victory in the National Football League.
But the Arizona Cardinals finished with a better record than the Panthers. And if you look at those 10 losses, a number of them, they didn't end up losing the lead until the fourth quarter.
Okay. Experience.
You go right here. You
No, it's not about whether or not the Arizona Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl. It's about, is this the best division? And if you think the top three teams are fine, and then the worst team
it's the best, takes you to the fourth quarter. Three teams. And the South has three good teams. The South will have three good teams, and so will the West. And they're going to have competitive teams. Arizona's going to be competitive, but they're not going to be able to finish the deal. They might be a 7-9 team, an 8-8 type team, something along those lines, but they're not going to be a playoff pushing team. That's all I'm saying. They're not going to be a playoff pushing team.
Let's go to this one. Let's take a listen to Will Cain talking about Michael Jordan and Rob Thorne telling their lies about the Dream Team. Here's Will Cain.
I have trouble with Jordan telling us two different statements in complete opposition to each other in his own words, in his own voice. Do we care about the truth, even when it's at odds with our heroes, even when it's at odds with those we've mythologized, even when it's at odds with the greatest of all time? I do. So I have a problem if Rod Thorne or Michael Jordan or The Last Dance can't give us the truth.
You have a problem with the inconsistencies, let's call it, in Michael Jordan and Rod Thorne's stories.
Shake it.
Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Shake it all day long.
You're all right.
Oh, okay. All right then.
Yeah, I don't what because happened? I don't think that there all, was a, I don't think that there was no inconsistency.
Stop it, LZ.
All right, next.
What you mean?
If you're not going to be truthful, then why are we talking about this?
Because I didn't hear him say that he did not want Isaiah Thomas on the team.
I did not hear him say that.
I heard him say that he wasn't going to play. He didn't say, I don't want him.
Let's play the tape again.
There's a big difference.
Let's listen to it.
They called me to ask me to play. Rob don't call to Rob. I will play when Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
Okay, stop it right there. He said, Rod, I won't play if Isaiah Thomas plays.
He didn't say don't put him on. He just said I wouldn't play. You can move on to the next one if you like.
What's the difference?
Because I want to hear him say, don't put him on the team. That's what I want to hear.
He just said, they obviously want Michael Jordan to play. He's saying, I won't play if Isaiah's there. Man, that is a de facto, don't put him on the team.
Hey, they got to form their own opinion on what Mike said. I'm just telling you, the man never said it.
Here's a quote from Rod Thorne. There was never
Who you dislike more, LZ?
There was never
Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan?
Why are you using Chris's text messages on air? Use your own thoughts. Why are you using Chris's text messages? All right, this is Rod Thorne. There was never anything in my conversation with, quote, Jordan that had anything to do with Isaiah Thomas, period. He said, I'll do it. That's Rod Thorne.
It's very different.
So somebody's
lying.
Well,
that's Rod. He did that.
I'm Travis.
Travis didn't ask me about him. Yes, Travis asked me about Michael Jordan.
No, he asked about Michael Jordan.
Both of them and their inconsistencies. But one of them might be lying,
the other one ain't.
Okay, let's move on.
Maybe Thorne is trying to take up for Michael in the wrong way.
All right. Seeing Mike Tyson unable to tear his own T-shirt makes you not want to watch him fight. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. He had on a beefy tee from the SWAT, and the things too thick. Yeah, he needed to have scissors, man. He didn't have one of them $200 thin T-shirts that you can see through.
He's getting ready to do a wrestling thing, and he's getting all hyped up. He tries to tear his T-shirt, and he couldn't get through it. That was one of those, maybe I don't want to see Mike fight. If he can't tear the T-shirt, I don't know if I want to see him actually fight another person.
Man, he should have cut it and then put the scotch tape on the insert on the inside of it. You don't know that trick?
Yeah, it didn't work. Whatever the trick was, it absolutely didn't work. All right, there was supposed to be a space launch yesterday, Key. It got postponed because of weather. You would travel into outer space. Take it or shake it.
Come on, man. Why are you going to ask me something like that? You already know the answer. Shake that all day. I'm good for them. I'm happy that they want to be a part of science and they, you know, telling us about the world and everything. I'm good. I'm glad we got these scientists and astronauts. I'm good. But me in that? Oh, no, I'm cool. I was watching them come back. I don't know. It's been about a month, I guess, now. They were coming back with some mission we were on, and they had been over there for, like, ever. They were over there for, like, a year or something. And I'm like, ain't no way in the world I'm going to be in this thing for a year.
A floating tin can?
Man, ain't no way in the world. I'm sitting there saying to myself, you know, I'm thinking of every bad scenario you can think of.
Well, that's the problem. Like, that stuff goes wrong a little too frequently to get me super excited about it. Those test pilots and all those guys are wired differently. They're going to have to get this, like, airline travel where they just go, you know, there's a flight every 10 minutes. Nothing ever happens. We just keep it moving before I'm getting on a rocket.
Every time I see that, I'm fascinated by it because of the courage and everything. I couldn't do that, man. There's certain things in the world I couldn't do. Like, I couldn't. I watch our military and our heroes in the military. You know, when I'm watching stuff on television, and I'm thinking to myself, man, ain't no way in the world I'm gonna be standing behind that bunker with bullets flying at me. You know, and it's I'm serious though. It's like I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh my god, ain't no way in the world. But. When you built like that and you wired that way, you know, it's just like I can't imagine being in that situation. And I'm sure people couldn't imagine playing football and getting hit by somebody going across the middle. It's just it's one of those. I couldn't imagine it.
No, I'm not. I'm with you. There's no astronaut Johnson. There's no astronaut Rogers along the way either. All right. The NBA is trying to figure out how to come back and play. Are all the teams on board with a soccer format? You'll hear it next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.